Professional Regulations webinar. I wanted to go over a couple of sort of procedural things first before we introduce those here in the room. It's important that you keep your phone on mute, but not on hold, and be aware that when you're using a speaker, it's projecting into the conference all the background noise, and we'll be unfortunately forced to mute you. There'll be opportunities for questions throughout. At opportune moments, I will stack a list of names so everybody who wishes to speak will have a chance to speak, and then we'll go back to the presentation. But please wait till you're called upon, and everybody who wants to ask questions will have an opportunity to do so. And again, it's important that you be aware of background noises, sidebar conversations, cell phones, etc. So with that, I want to welcome everybody, and I'm going to turn it over to Mo Madani to provide our presentation. And I guess we could introduce those here in the room just for...
Justin Vogel,
Tom Campbell,
Joe Bigelow,
and Mo Madani,
Jim Hammer,
and I'm Jeff Blair. Go ahead, Mo.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Mo Madani. And first of all, I would like to thank you for taking the time to mainly join us this afternoon, and also we welcome your participation in the code update process for the Florida Building Code. It's the seventh update, and before we go further, I just want to first of all state the purpose of the chat. This is mainly just give you general information and to go over the code change process, especially how to submit a code change, and also talk about the available support documentation resources that is going to be of help to you as you go through this process and trying to really submit a code change to the update to the Florida Building Code. Again, also we will, during this, we will address questions that you may have regarding the process.
Yeah. Okay, so Bob, are folks able to hear Mo okay?
Yes, I can hear him.
Okay.
Background noise feeding through.
Yeah, that's primarily coming from some of the participants who are picking up background noise. We'll try to
mute
them.
All, can't we, Jim? Just mute them all. I mean, as long as you don't mute them up.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Sure, I'll mention that then. Are you able to do that, Jim? Okay, so what we're going to do is actually mute everybody except for Mo, and at opportune moments throughout the presentation, we'll stop and I'll stack a list of names of questions or comments that you might have, because there's a lot of background noise which is making it difficult for others to hear. So we're going to try that, and we'll stop periodically. So please write your questions down if you have them, and we'll come back to them at various moments. Go ahead, Mo.
Okay. So the other thing we're going to do is... staff is going to go over on how to submit a code modification online. So we'll take you through the step and the process for that. As you know, or as we noted in our mass email, the cycle for submitting a code change for the update to the 2020 Florida Building Code starts in November 2nd. Which is Friday, this coming Friday, and will close by midnight, December 15, 2018. With regard to what you call the foundation for this code process, or the major document that you will be using as the base for submitting your code change, there's two main documents. One is the 6th edition 2017 Florida Building Code, and the 2018 I-Code changes as approved by the Commission at the October 8, meetings as compiled in a tracking chart number one, which we will go over it shortly after I go through this through these pointers. The other thing, want to make sure that when you submit a code change, you must start with text from these two foundation documents. So you take your text from these either the 2006, the 2017 Florida Building Code, or from the I-code changes that 2018 that approved by the commission, and then you incorporate into them your changes that you like to submit to us. The changes to be submitted, it must be in a legislative format, meaning that it must really show the strike and delete text, and also must show the underlying text, which is the added text. Without that, your mod will be rejected, it will be incomplete. The other thing is that we do have some support documentation on our system that help you with regard to how to submit a code change, and a list of question and answer. One document is called User Guide, and the other is Question and Answer, which we'll go over it shortly. In terms of submitting a code change, please do not submit a BDF and in place of submitting an actual text of mod in the mod box. So you would like to see that you submit the actual code change in the text of mod. Otherwise, if you would consider it incomplete, it will be difficult to, a lot of time is difficult to deal with a BDF file. So do please incorporate your code change into the text of mod in strike and delete formats. That the box has been enhanced and improved. It's compatible with different browsers, so you should not have any problem. And if you do have or encounter a problem, please call us as staff, and we'll be glad to help you to see how we can handle it. But do not use a BDF for submitting the code change. Standards. If you are planning to submit a code change that references standards, please make sure to send a copy of the proposed standard to the staff and to each applicable committee members that will be considering the proposed modifications. It's your responsibility to make sure that the references standards are sent to the staff and also sent to the committee members. Not providing copies of the proposed standard to both the staff and the committee could result in a proposal not being considered by the commission, considered to be incomplete. Because you don't want the TAC to be able to consider a code change and they have not received the standard that you're trying to get them to recommend it for approval. Also, very important, in order to allow for time for feedback on your proposed modification by staff regarding whether your modification is incomplete, we advise that you submit your code change proposal as early as possible. Proposed code modification submitted after 2 weeks or 2 weeks from the deadline, December 2nd. Anything you submit after December 2nd, since the deadline is December 15, you will risk having no feedback from staff. Code change proposal sometimes will be deemed incomplete if it doesn't have the sufficient information. So please do submit your code changes as early as possible and 2 weeks before the deadline. status of your mod submittal. We have a good system. It's the system, everything we do, you will, and you, if you submitted a code change, you will get a status. So it is important that your contact information, email address, and all that is the most current one and the one that you handle frequently. So because you're going to, as you submit the code change, you're going to receive an email saying your code change has been submitted. As soon as the staff review it and verify it, you will receive an email saying it's been verified. If any action, if any status have changed on it, if staff change the status on it, whether it's recommended for approval or TAC approved it, or so, or the commission approved it, that status, an email come to you with that status. So make sure your email contact informations are current. We do have throughout the online submittal in term of the form, there is in each stage there's just a help screen. You should be able to really click on it, and you'll have some information about that stage of your code change if you need it. And also, again, please do consult with the question and answer documents that we have on our system and the user guide. If all fails and you still need help, please do call staff. Our phone number is 850-487-1824. Staff will be glad to help you. What I'm going to do is go over the...
Ask if we have any questions.
Yeah, sure.
Jim, can you... All right, so before Mo goes to the next piece of this, we're going to ask if anybody has any questions of what Mo just reviewed. All of it is available in documentation in the various documents, but I want to make sure if anybody had any questions before Mo proceeds. Does anybody have any questions?
No, sir.
Go ahead, Joe.
Sure.
Go ahead, Joe.
Mo, Mo, do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Mo, you mentioned not uploading any PDF files. I have a question there. Sometimes if you have something to do with a table, the tables are, unless you're providing stuff in the Word format, sometimes the tables are hard to deal with as a PDF. Can those be uploaded as a PDF?
Joe is going to answer your question. He's been working on this.
Yeah, hey, Joe, it's Joe. We did a new enhancement, and tables will be better than they were. It's going to be best if you can copy from the code, the online code, and paste it in as a table in there. It's been working pretty decent. We've tested it a lot, and I can work with you on that if you want to give me a call. But tables are working as long as you copy them straight from the code. If you're doing it as like a JPEG or something like that, the site will take pictures, but it's going to be tough to do a PDF because PDFs don't really translate into the final detail. So if you can get it in as a picture or a table, that'll be great.
Okay. Thank you.
Stuart.
Go ahead, Arlene.
So you mentioned that there are two documents that fit. Will they be found under Hot Topics, or will they be, when you go over where those documents will be found?
I'm going to go over that shortly, if you
okay, thank
a second.
You.
Yeah. So, yeah, Mo's going to go through that. He'll show you where to find them.
Great. When it comes to the standards, those can be rather large and may only be available in PDF. Can you go over how to get them to folks, or do you include a link to where they can be found on the web? And lastly, will this presentation be available for people who weren't able to attend today to listen at their leisure? Thank you.
Yeah. For the standards, normally these standards are purchased by the proponents or proponent has them, whether they can provide them as a PDF to the TAC members and to the staff or as a hard copy. Either way, we do. Normally, the code mod is assigned to a specific TAC, so all what we're asking is that you provide a copy, whether hard copy or PDF, to the members of that TAC and the staff.
So that should be emailed separately, because we shouldn't be using PDFs in the actual submittal.
No, because really what happens is that if you upload a standard into the website, it's public information. And the associations that really publish this standard, they don't like people to download it free of charge. And we try to really tell you guys, don't do it. But for us, anything you upload, sure, you can upload it, but anything you upload will be public information. And we got some concern a lot of time from the standard publishing organization about people are being able to really obtain these standards from our website free of charge. So that's, at this point, all what we are asking you to do is to really just make them available to us and the committee.
Second part.
Mo, this is Robert Fine. On that point there, if we've got to send a standard to each member of a TAC, one of those standards means you need to get a buy another version of each of those. That's buying a lot of standards unless there's something out there that lets us not have to worry about that in terms of copyright.
I'm not sure in terms of whether it's all the standards is really have a copyright, am I correct?
Right, but if I have to send it to 10 TAC members, for example, that means I got to buy the book and copies of the standard to send to 10 to not violate it normally.
Well, normally you will buy maybe 10 copies and send them to. I leave it to the proponents. This has been done really through ICC and all that. Within you make a copy or that's really, we're out of it. I don't really, we don't get involved in that. So I leave it to you whether you want to make a copy and send it to the members or you want to, you can, some proponents to get permissions from the standard organization to provide copies to the members. Some organization, some standard promulgation organization would love to give you extra copies because they want their standard to be adopted. So some of them, they're kind of would help in making those copies available. So it depends.
The second part of her question was.
No, sorry.
Will it be recorded? Yeah, is this going to be recorded? Is this webinar going to be recorded?
Yeah, we're recording. I'm sorry.
So the second part of your question, Arlene, is it will be recorded. So Joe Crum, you're next.
Yeah, I just got back from the ICC code hearings and got back in the office today, so I haven't had time to check. Has the online code been fixed so we can copy it now and paste it?
Yes.
It's ICC. Worked on it as soon as you guys made us aware of it, and it should be is working. I checked it; is working.
Okay, that's great.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions before Mo proceeds with the presentation?
On the reference standard, if we can't put a PDF, but we provide PDFs to the members, do we just reference that PDF has been provided when we do the electronic version of the submittal?
No, when you do the electronic, you reference the standard, but whether you provided the standard or not, that's not something we ask for. The code mod will not ask for. So it's really is done external, outside the submittal.
He's just saying, should he make a notation?
But we just reference it.
I don't. It's up to you. I'll make sure really. Normally, if I see a standard, I will let you know that you need to do it. So it provides a copy and send a copy to the committee. So I do that.
All right.
Good. Thank you.
Was there another question at the same time as Mike's? All right. So let's go ahead to the next piece, Mo. Right. Who's speaking?
This is Scott. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Scott. Scott?
Yes, two questions. One, you mentioned that we're going to be working off of chart one. I thought we also submit stuff off of chart two. The second question is, as early as this morning, I went in to do a code modification, and the subcode and chapter and topic select one wasn't working, so I couldn't go any further because you, no drop-down menus.
Yeah, with regard to working on charts and which chart, I will go over that shortly. With regard to the code modification, those chapters and all that and subcodes are not there, but they will be there by tonight. We are working on that, so stay tuned. We're aware of that, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, the submittal window is starting November 2nd, so that's all right. Any other questions before Mo proceeds with the presentation, in which we'll explain the documents? All right, Mo, go ahead.
Okay, I'm gonna click on this link, and that's take me to the code mod page, which is really is a good page and has a lot of information. Since we start the process, everything is in this page. So, as you see here, under the 7 edition 2020 for the building code development, we have step 2, which is mainly start, you know, the cycle start November 2nd and end in December 15. The code changes that from the 2018 I-codes that's approved by the commission, they are listed under chart 1. Those are approved by the commission, and if you click on any of these link, like structural, general, or building, you will see a list of code changes with summary of the code change and the actions of both the TAC and the commission. But it will say the action is that those are deemed to be accommodating for the specific need. So this is one of the documents that formed the foundation for submitting a code change. So so you have those I-code changes that are approved by the commission at the last October meeting. The other thing is that if you go, as you scroll down, I do have as a resources for you. If you go all the to the bottom, you see there is a link to the 6th edition 2017 for the building code. That's the second document that you will be using as a basis for submitting your code change. So you'll be submitting your code change to the 6th edition 2017 for the building code in conjunction with the 2018, those code changes that from the 2018 I-code changes. And really, as you submit the code change, you need to make sure you check both, because, you know, in order to have a very complete code change, you need to make sure that your code change is really to the foundation code 2017, as amended, if any, if from the 2018 I-code changes as approved by the commission. So it's make sure that really you're looking at both, and then you decide which text you need to take to amend for moving forward. That's all available for you. Now, the other thing we have available for you is the international 2018 codes. Those codes are available online from ICC, and you can also cut and paste from them. The other thing you will available for you is the National Electric Code. There is a link to the NFPA website if you would like to review the NEC 2017, and also the changes made to the NEC 2017. The other thing we have the work plan. This work plan details how the process is really the timelines and everything for the process since the start. So This here, as you see, we are now under the step where it's a period for public to provide modification to the 6th edition 2017 and the commission approved changes to the model code needed to accommodate for the specific need. So these are the two documents. You have, it says November 2nd to December 15 is the cycle for submitting code change. Then it'll say what will happen next. Next, you know, after all these code changes are submitted, and after December 15, by January 2nd, all the proposed code changes mainly it will be compiled and made available from the website, and we will open what you call the first 45-day comment period. This is where anybody can come in into the system and review a proposed code change and submit comments on it. You know, I support it, I do not support it, or provide an alternate language to improve it. So that's where the first 45-day comment period. And in March 1, after the 45 days, we will publish the reports, the tracking chart, detailed reports with detail, the proposed code changes along with the comments submitted on them. Then, as you see, March 18 to 21st, 2019, mainly the TAC will meet to review the code changes and provide recommendations to the commissions. And the timeline continues. But that's really something that you want to keep up with and make sure that you know the next step. Do you close it? Joe, do you close it?
Yeah, you can close it.
Okay. All right. The next one is there is a PowerPoint presentation here. I don't want to go through it, but this is something we did with the commission. This one is a good, really, review. It has in it the two-step process that we undertaking, and it just give you an idea what step one or step two. So I don't want to go through it, but this is something that if you want to understand how this really process is being undertaken, that's a good presentation. I made it. So... question and answer. If you're, it doesn't hurt to take a few minutes and review all these question and answer. It's a good, really, review for you. It does really address a certain aspect of the BCIS system and the submittal of the code change and so on. So it's a good thing that, you know, to go through and review it. The other things we have for you is the 7th edition guides. This is a guide that for somebody who, you know, never submitted a code change, it takes you in terms of how to submit a code change, how you search for a mod, how you comment on a mod, and so on. So it's very, very direct, and it should be a helpful tool for you. And again, this is the 6th edition 2017 for the building code. So, chart 2, this is a chart, has in it all the 2018 I code changes that is really the commission took no action on. So those are, you know, available for you to look at them, and if you want to, you know, use them to submit a code change. But still, anything you do now from here on, you are the proponents. It's your code change. So you have to really be able to frame it in a way that is your code change with providing those, answering the specific questions that required by the form, the online form. So we have those, all these that really had no actions. Now, if you want to go find the actual monograph for these, for both, the one approved by the commission and the one that's no action, there is a chart. It says monograph on it. It says, let's see, tracking charts. is this the Marengraph? Is it tracking chart only available? Yeah, it's in here. I think it's in here. Let's see this one. I see here it says tracking chart with ICC Marengraph. If you click on any of these link, like IBC General, you should be able to see a tracking chart like this with a warning, copyright, make sure you don't use any of this material for other than submitting a code change. And if you go into, let's say for example, you click on a number G17915, it'll take you to the actual Marengraph, which you can cut and paste from to, if you want to really use some of the text here to propose a code change or something. But believe me, this is you own this code change, so you cannot say, well, I'm submitting on behalf of Dennis. Yeah, you're Dennis now. Okay. cancel. Did I?
Can you go
back?
Yeah, go to do up a new window there.
Here?
Oh, you cancel there. Yep, hit a new window. And looks like you got to go back to. Yep.
Okay. All right. So we're back, and at this point, this is the hot topic, and this is the. So that's what I have for you with regard to the materials and everything. And then the next thing we're going to do, Joe is going to go over the online form and show you how to submit a code change.
Let's find the questions. Okay, so before Joe does that, are they unmuted, Joe?
Yeah.
Does anybody have any questions on the materials that Mo just showed you? In other words, you know, how to access them, et cetera, which, you know, they're all there with links. Any questions on that before Joe does the next phase?
I just wanted to joke around. Mo mentioned cutting and pasting out of the Marengraph in ICC. When you do that, if you don't do it in PDF, it scrambles a lot, so I don't know if that's going to work very well.
Well, we did actually, when we did the same thing, and it works fine for us. We did work on from the Marengraph for those that approved by the by the commission, and it works fine.
Why?
You'll be able.
Okay, maybe it's been improved, but the last time I tried that, it didn't work.
I could do it.
It wasn't the same format, so it didn't.
I think
it's
maybe
been modified. And it works. That's fine.
Yeah, I think it does. For us, it did work. So I'm not.
Any other questions before?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Joe.
Belcher, ahead. I have a question here.
Go ahead, Joe.
Along with what Joe Crum was commenting on, I noticed that, like, when I try to copy from, say, the Marengraph, let's say underline and strikeout, most of the time it will not copy the strikeout. It'll copy the underline. Is what you're going to have available online going to have the, will that have the, that legislative format, will that legislative format translate over?
The only thing we have is what we have on our website. I'm not sure. I don't think we have anything else.
We can do it on a
Does that show the strikeout and underline and everything?
We can convert it.
I haven't looked at the actual document, so
When we did it, it did transport the strike and delete and underline. So if you have an issue, you know, you can call us and talk to Joe. Maybe he, you know, we can work with you.
Everything that you need to know about custom Windows
systems. I've got Bigelow on speed dial. So good.
Yes, he's the man. He will be able to. But we did do it, and it seems worked for us.
And I could go through it when I do my demo. I can do it.
Just to remind folks, do not put your phones on hold, because we'll hear some background.
Anybody else hearing that sales?
Yes, working.
Online?
We're working
right now?
Yep.
Yep, Jim's working on it. All right, we got
it. I want to order some windows.
All right, any other questions before Joe goes into the next piece on how to a demonstration? Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. Let's see. All right, the first thing everybody's going to want to do, if you're brand new or if you're doing it as an interest party, you can go in and you can do any login. Well, actually, let me start from the beginning. Good. If you're first starting out from our homepage, floridabuilding.org, you'll want to click on register if you're brand new or if you're setting up a different interest group. Like if you're doing it for, say, roofing, a roofing industry or something like that, you can click on register. And when you click on register, it'll come up and look something like this. And for interest groups, you can do...
Not seeing any change on the screen.
It's... got it on.
Okay, bear with us 1 second.
What did you do? I'm seeing it.
Do you see the homepage now, Joe?
No. Nope. Still seeing the bottom of one of the charts, the resources, and part of the chart at the top, what Bo was using.
Okay.
I got the home page on mine now.
Okay, cool.
So it's okay. Just a little slow, a little lag.
All right, I'll back up. If you're doing this as a general user or as a interest group, you come to our homepage, floridabuilding.org, and click on register. It'll say BCIS Home Login, and click on register here. And it'll take you to a page that kind of looks like that. You see like a contact information sheet?
I'm going to watch and monitor online how fast it flips over
so you can see them. Joe, if I was Stuart, it seems to bounce back and forth. Like, because
not doing anything for me.
It now shows me the login screen, but before when you said that the login screen should be there, I had the whole page. And then it went back, and then it went back when it was.
Yeah, we figured it out. We understand there's a lag.
There's about a 30-second delay.
Joe's able to see now what the lag is, so he'll adjust his presentation accordingly.
So
yeah, there's no lag because I'm still at the same screen.
Refresh your browser.
Well, he's on GoToMeeting. When you click on register, it should take you to a contact information screen. And on there, you can mix it up for your name. I'm going to do, my first name is going to be Joe, and my last name is going to be Bigelow for, and here's where you can put in for like NFPA, something like that to show that you're submitting this mod per NFPA. But in about 30 seconds, you'll probably see that. This is not going to work.
Yeah.
You're just seeing the test screen, nothing happening.
Okay.
Yeah, Bigelow just came in now.
Yep, and then it should say in about 30 seconds NFPA.
See, I had been seeing Joe Bigelow for at least 30 seconds before Joe said it popped in, but he hasn't scrolled up for me to show where the organization is.
We're still waiting on that.
Yeah.
he put the organization next to his name in the last name field.
But this is my real number. If you have any problems, that's my real number, the 717-1829, if you have any problems.
You want to try it off this one, see if it'll run any faster against its control.
Probably wouldn't hurt. I don't see.
Yeah, because
that's. Yeah, let me keep that away. I'm going to switch computers. Bear with me here. Okay. I think the Halloween gremlins are in the.
In the air.
In the air, yeah. All right, let's. Okay.
You should be showing.
Okay. All right, does everybody see a registration page?
Got it now.
A contact information page? Okay, so I'm going to do... Okay, so, and then we just make our password.
You're not seeing it. Is the lag time on it?
Whoa. Oh, that was weird. All right, so for first name, it's going to be Joe, and last name, it's going to be Bigelow, and I'm going to do AIA for architects this time. And here, let's do, just plug in your address. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
This is what they're saying here, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see here. Brad, let me see here.
Yes, I'm
in. That's because that's showing that screen. That's all. That's okay. As long as they're seeing it, it doesn't matter to us.
Yep. Showing.
Yeah, that's because this is hooked up the other one. That's all. You should be.
Oh, yeah, I see what I'm saying. Perfect.
See what they're seeing.
Okay.
Are you guys seeing...
are you seeing Joe typing in the fields?
Well, they're not seeing...
We're seeing a picture of a pond right now.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
That's where we're going after the meeting.
All right, so... Well, like I said, I'm going to put my phone number up here if you have any difficulties. I'm on the website, too, if you go to contact staff. It's 850-717-1829. And here, the best thing to do for checkboxes, I would click on Florida Building Code Information and Changes, and then anything you're specifically looking to see, like roofing or... energy, that sort of thing. And that's how you get emails from us. All right, so once you're registered,
let's see, not yet, Joe. See if they can see what they can see.
What are y'all seeing right now?
The should still be
seen. In his screen.
So it's just us who's not seeing.
So they're, you were seeing him type in his fields, et cetera, right?
Correct. Okay. He's been scrolling up and down now.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's seeing you, Joe.
Yeah. So website isn't seeing you. Okay, so we'll skip that part. It'll show that you're registered, and I'll go to Florida. All right. Your machine's most helpful.
Thank you.
Okay. Seriously, it's messing up. I can't. Okay. All right, so now I'm going to log in as me, as the petitioner, and I'm going to do, I'm going to submit a proposed code model. Okay, so when you go to, let me do that one more time. Just go to, on the homepage, go to Proposed Code Modifications. And then do After you're logged in, you can do submit a proposed code modification. That's the first one on the second part. And log in again.
He don't get those errors, by the way, in the real time. He's just a system.
But if you do see an error, let us know.
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right, go to proposed code modifications, and then do submit a proposed code modification. Okay. And when the cycle opens on the second, you should see this. It'll say 2020 triennial original modification. And but this is just a test cycle here for us. And it'll default to 2020. You just select the building code, subcode that you want to use. I'm going to do chapter one building. And this is a test file. And all the blue text fields are required. So if you skip one of these blue text fields, it'll pop back with an error. What that is the section one. Right. And we put a lot of work into this, but it may be a little bit different than you're used to, but this is the new text of modification box. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab something straight from the building code.
Perhaps something that has formatting in it.
Yeah. What's that? Plumbing, Joe?
The legislative.
Oh, I see.
You're not going to find that.
You're not going to get it from this. Yeah, I wouldn't think.
Go to the monograph, Joe, if you want.
Yeah, I want to grab a monograph.
We can go to the monograph and see how.
Yeah.
We can capture those things that you look at. I think the fire is big, probably.
Is it?
Yeah, well, it's all right. You're already there.
Wow. That actually loaded pretty quick.
That's good.
Okay. So here.
The ones we've already used that are the monograph with link, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
from
this
the iCodes.
Has a little bit of both. I'm just going to use this. So I'd go in here and do a copy. You can also save these to your machine, and it may. See, I'm actually loading this PDF through the browser. You can actually, when you go back here, you can do a right click and do save as. And that'll actually download it to your machine instead of loading it through your browser. That might help too.
That's what I wanted to know. Thank you much. I appreciate that.
Yep. And so scroll up. I didn't paste it.
It didn't look like it picked up any strikeout or underline.
Yeah.
It didn't.
So is this?
Yeah.
It's underlined.
Just where'd it go?
Yeah.
That's why I always do it on my computer and then copy it straight from my computer into this box.
You can copy it and pop it. Because
it doesn't.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you do copy it, you can put it into a Word document and then.
See what will happen if you take
it. If you.
Try it.
And then I'm also seeing base documents for the 2013 code update to be found here. That's going to be confusing.
This is the test site, isn't it? You will not see that in the
actual. Yeah, Mo just said that this is we're working on the test site. You will not see that in what you're able to see here.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, we've updated that.
Yeah.
if you paste it as...
So to follow up what Joe said, I remember at one point in past where you couldn't copy and paste. You couldn't get everything set up in Word and then just grab it and move it over. Are we hearing that we think that's going to be a possibility now?
Well, doesn't look like it's what's happening on the screen right now.
Let us work with it.
See,
a second.
That text doesn't even copy into Word, so there's something different with that text.
This is where I was getting when I was trying to copy it before and paste it, the same thing is all messed up like that.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Never has worked.
At all.
I'll tell you what I've done in the past, just for those on here, I've done a number of these. You copy from the code or whichever document, usually it's PDF, put it, you extract what you want, make a separate PDF file of that, and then convert it to Word. But then you have to go back in and manually do the strikeout. The underline usually covers.
So it doesn't convert over from PDF to Word very well either.
No, it doesn't.
Joe, we'll look at it and get something to you guys. I know we did it, and I just want to make sure we give you the right things. But you should be able to do that.
I will say, I know that you guys will do everything you can to accomplish that. So I hope it works out well.
Let's see what we can do. We'll check it and get back with you guys.
Because we got it from the ICC as the original document.
If it all fails, just copy it and go back and track it. But we'll see what we can do. So,
okay.
We'll get all back with you on this one.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get that, but. If you want to do it straight from the code, that should work fairly good.
Now, see, if you go straight from the code, you're not getting any of the legislative format.
Yeah,
right.
You're not going to see it there.
Yeah, there's no underlining and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's when you have to create it yourself.
Yeah.
That's what I've always had to do in the past, so... Mm-hmm. I was hoping you had worked that out this time, but
sure. This would be a nightmare doing that to every coach.
Yeah, we got a lot of them, don't we, Joe? Yes.
It should be pretty easy to get those monographs. But if you're wanting to start like this week, let me know and I can convert a monograph for you.
We'll look at it, Joe, and get back with him. No problem. I understand what they.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you're going to convert a monograph, can you put that where the rest of us can get it, so we can all have access to it?
Not really.
We will follow up with
we'll
on this. We'll see how what we can do, guys.
Yep.
You can get the actual monograph on the ICC website, but like I say, it's all in PDF format, so it doesn't convert over real well.
Actually, they have it in rich text on there, too. That's how we got it. We converted it to rich text and then converted it over.
If you can get it in rich text, man, I'd love it.
Yeah.
I need to see it on the website.
Yeah, it's like when you go to save, or I think it's print or save, you can save it as a
rich text format.
Mm-hmm. It's under export or something like that. It defaults to PDF. That's why everybody sees PDF.
We'll run a test and give you some options.
I would like to say if you have it and you've been able to get it at staff, please put it someplace that all of us can work from the same copy, because the ICC website is rather large. Different people have different access, so it's possible that we're not all pulling from the same document, and that could be nightmarish.
Yeah.
If somebody could think in all honesty that they got the latest version, only to have it bounced back because it's not knowing why.
We will get it out there. And notice on here for the submitting a mod, it has needs help areas here. This is the test site. It may not be working. But here it'll have little needs help options for what to submit. if it's a tricky, if it's a tricky field, it'll let you know. You can just click on needs help, and it'll tell you. But yeah, we'll work on the monograph.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. But that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Submitting a mod.
Just want to let you know, this has not changed much from what we did before. So, same form. The only changes we made is really, we improved on the text of mod to make it more usable and user friendly. And the other thing, we took out some questions that has to do with the expired mod, because that's really based on the legislative change. But everything is still the same, and the process and the questions are the same.
So you can copy the text right out of the monograph, into a Word doc and paste it into a Word document. It'll have all the text. It doesn't keep the strike underlined. Then you just have to go back and make those changes to it. But you can get the text for easily enough.
Yeah, that's always been easy.
Yeah. And we'll work on it. And they're going to work on it.
Yep.
So is that it, Ben?
That's it.
So does anybody have any other questions?
Yes, this is Scott.
Go ahead, Scott.
Two questions. One is, what was discussed in October was submitting a mod in the second phase, being the proponent will be us. Can we copy and paste the cost analysis and so forth? Or are we going to have to do additional information on that?
I don't see any. You can cut and paste and provide the information as it's become your information. But yeah, sure, you can take whatever information available, rationale, why, and all that from the monograph. Sure.
Okay, the second question would be where we were just watching you cut and paste into the mod area, I saw that you could underline and bold and do things like that. I didn't see an option for strikeup.
We'll have to do, if he wants to do a custom rationale, he could do it in the text of mod.
No, it should allow you to, is there's a strike.
Is there,
there's a function to
there's
strike.
There's a format for strike, right? Strike,
yeah, there is a strike.
In the rationale?
No, in the text of mod.
Yeah, but if he's putting a rationale into the text of mod box.
No, what are you saying?
It's a separate question.
He didn't see a strike. There's a strike.
The mod box.
Yeah, go back to the mod box. There should be a strike function as well as an underline function in the menus.
Right, because if we're going to have to do our own underline and strike, I'd like to make sure there's a strike. I didn't see that when you were flipping through.
Well, all the other mods that weren't iCode changes have always required a strike or underline anyway, because you're amending the existing code. So those normal mods, the functionality has always been there. It has to be. But we're going to take a look and show you where it is.
That's the mod, yeah.
Can you get it to where I can enter in something like this? Fill in those fields.
This is your baby.
It's not my baby.
Hey, Mo and Joe, John Weisman here.
Yeah, get it to where I can fill in.
Hey, John.
Well,
zoom out.
Hi, good afternoon. Could I, when you get a chance, can we go back a little bit to the commission action and non-action? I'd like to make sure I understand the basis, the language basis for potentially proposing mod and also determining whether a mod needs to be proposed or not.
Hold,
I just want to make sure I understand your chart one, chart two, et cetera.
Yeah, hold your thought. Hold a second. We're trying to figure out something. We're trying to answer one questions here. We got to the strike and delete.
Is the text about on the second page?
Mm-hmm. I can't even get to
there it is. So
yeah. Yes, ma'am.
You can see up on the menu, you've got bold, italics, underline, strike.
There you go. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Yeah, let's go into the mod, code mod page, where the charts are. Mm-hmm. He has a question about those.
Yeah, Mo, yeah, specifically John Winkman here again. Yeah, I just want to make sure I understand what's actually being modified by the commission that we don't need to worry about and what's not being modified by the commission that if we do want to make sure it gets to the 2020, we do have to worry about it.
Okay. The one that you are already been approved by the commission is what it says, chart one, which says the tracking chart with commission tech action accommodate for the specific need. All the modifications that listed in this chart, they're approved. The commission approved them, and they will be part of the next update if nobody made a change to them through the step two process. So these are already approved by the commission. So you don't need to worry about them. The one that they are not approved or no action on them is under chart two. Chart two, if you go to adjust.
I'm trying.
Chart two is the one has all those code changes that commission had no action on them. So those the one that anybody could these are the chart that with no action are the one that the commission did not approve as accommodating for the specific need.
All right, so for example,
Let me give you an example.
Chart
one are all the iCode changes that the commission approves and are now incorporated into the code. So if you like that, you would make a modification. If you wanted to see one of those pulled out, then you'd have to make an amendment. Chart two are all of the iCode changes that the commission did not approve for inclusion. So if you want those in, then you'd have to proactively propose those as you would any code amendment in our normal code update process.
This is Bonnie Manley.
Okay.
Building on that, if you want to further modify something that was modified on chart two, you would have to show the legislative text based you would effectively have to accept what was changed on chart one and then show the additional change from there.
Okay, hold a second. Are you talking about chart one or chart two?
Chart one,
okay.
Which has already been accepted.
Okay.
It's in legislative text. Effectively, you're going to have to show that as accepted changes, and then your legislative text would further modify that. Is that correct?
That's true. What you're going to have in this case, if you're going to propose a code change to for a mod that's in chart one, yes, you want to set it where no underline or delete, that, you know, be it your original text, and you can modify it if need, you know, the way you need by using legislative format.
So Mo, building on that, if we're in a section that may or may not have other changes that were affected and accepted in chart one, but we want to make something that wasn't accepted as a change, am I going to have to go through and search all of chart one where there may have been changes that affected or impacted that language, show that as the updated language, and then further modify it? Is it on the proponent, or can I just show the base Florida building code, make the amendment, and then at some point down the road, you as staff are going to have to resolve what changes happened to that paragraph?
Well, what If you are making a change, you know, as I mentioned, you still has to take a text, a base text, if from either chart one or if from the base code.
But what I'm saying is that I may take the base code And then down the road, what you're going to realize as staff is that there were two other changes that were accepted in chart one on that section. How are you going to resolve what that final paragraph
if those changes,
like?
If those changes are independent, then I will not bother you. If those changes are changes to what's already in the manograph for what's approved by the commission, then I will flag that to you and say, hey, you need to make sure you address the correlation. So I would, we will be in contact with you. I think we have to deal with it on a case by case, but staff will be reviewing your proposal and then looking at both. I would be looking at what's approved under the I code by the commission and what's really in the original, in the 2017. And if I feel like somewhere there is a problem, there will no I will note that to you. But if your change does not...
Mo, it would be really useful to have sort of a compiled document. So chart one isn't really as functional as it could be in the sense that you don't see everything overlaid onto the codes already. And so, I mean, it's sort of going to be a real, you know, hunting for the needle in the haystack kind of approach. It would be very useful to have a compilation based on what's in chart one, on what sort of the mid-cycle document looks like, right?
Well, I understand what you're saying, but at this point, really, I find it very, because really these changes that we approved under chart one, they go easily into the 2017 code. Their changes are from the 2015 I code to the 2018. There is no Florida specific code change that may conflict, so it should be direct. So I don't see any problem of you, you know, if you want to make a change to the Florida Building Code 2017 to really take the text that you need to revise, check, because these are all structured by subcodes and all that. All what you have to do is check the code mod, see if there is any conflict, but there should not be any conflict because there is no overlapping really provisions in these. There are strictly a change from 2015 to the 2018, and that's really also will be consistent with changes from the 2015 to the 2017 for the building code. So I don't see any problem of just checking it. So I think, but
some
also...
I won't belabor it, but some of the proposals make multiple, you know, that were accepted under Chart 1 make multiple changes to multiple sections. And so just trying to track down what the language is in a specific paragraph is going to be problematic, but I guess we're going to have to take it on a case-by-case basis, like you said, and that's fine. My final question has to do with Admin 94, which is the adoption of the standards. It was hard for me to tell in Chart 1 what standards got approved under Admin 94, if 100% of those were brought in or if the language wasn't clear the last time I looked at it. Is it going to be pretty clear which standards have made it in onto Chart 1 and which standards under Admin 94, which were the I code administrative updates, were not adopted or brought in straight as a Florida building code?
There's two things. One, with regard to the standards, I think if you click on any of these standard, like under admin, we do single out in that code change which standards will be excluded. For some, you know, because there is a specific code standard addition in the code for them. Otherwise, that's really whatever you know. whatever there will go into the code as long as the subject matter is addressed by the code and there is a specific standard in the code that needs to be updated. So I don't, you know, I would say all of them will be valid except if we there is somebody is adding a new standard that is really under chart 2, that is standard, if there is no text supported, it'll be invalid anyway. So, but I think majority of the standard that approved under chart 1 should be viable as an update.
All right. Anybody else have any questions?
Yes, I do, Jeff. This is George Wiggins.
Hey, George.
Following up on Bonnie Manley's fine questions, Mo and you all, the Roofing Association is opposed to adopting the new SE standard and 7, obviously. How will that will be? Will that be divided up by only related to roofing when they challenge the adoption of that standard? It kind of follows with what Bonnie Manley was saying. And how would that work?
There is no challenge at this point. The commission approved the standard as part of the 2018 I code. Anybody, if you're during this step 2, if somebody proposes a code change, will be to the standard. But that will go to the specific tax as applicable. Structural tax, if need, we can also put it for under the roofing tax. But that's, we have to see what modification will be made. But at this point, the standard has been approved by the commission as part of the 2018 I code changes as approved in at the October meeting.
So, yeah. Oh, I understand all that. But so they'll have to bifurcate the standard application.
It's going to be submitted like any other code amendment.
Yeah.
It's completely up to whoever a proponent wants to make an amendment will make it and use our process. So it'll be.
So we have no idea what that's going to look like yet until we see it, and then it'll be made available for the public to make their comments on.
Yeah. One final question then. For all those items that were already approved, I guess it's a two-part question. I assume they do not need to go back further before attack. Is that correct?
No, the one that approved by the commission, they're approved. There's no going back to the attack, except if somebody submitted a code change to them, then it'll go back to the attack.
Right. So if somebody submits a code modification to anything that's already approved, then it'll be processed as a modification and go before attack.
You're correct.
Right. Okay.
All right. Anybody else have any questions? All right. Well, we appreciate everybody participating. And again, I think DPR staff has made a Herculean effort to offer assistance as needed on a case-by-case basis. You can call Joe or Mo or whomever would be appropriate. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So have we done a successful test of...